Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Get you on the radio, yeah, yeah.
Gotta get on the radio. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. We've been talking home improvement. If you missed hour one, you gotta catch that on the podcast, because that's gonna be a classic. That's gonna end up being a best of for sure, that last caller over there. Because guess what? If you want to talk about being an illegal contractor, I'm gonna call you out. You can't miss this. We'll have that podcast up a little bit later here in the show. I want you to call in, though. I'm here to help you. This is what we do here, 503-417-9595, 503-417-9595. That's how you get in here locally or anywhere else out there. Or you can give us a call here on the toll-free line as well, 877-733-1011. Now, follow us on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G., and you can also catch us if you want to just send an email, ath@kxl.com. Now, I want to jump out here. We've got Bill in Vancouver who's been patiently waiting. Welcome to Around the House. Bill, are you there?
Hey. Yeah, can you hear me?
I can. What can I help you with today?
I was wondering, the last few years, my bathtub hot water faucet starts leaking, and I've changed the gaskets in there, either beveled or flat. I've tried both. And within a few days, it'll be leaking again, dripping.
Okay. Let's describe a little bit what you got going on with the faucet. Is this a single-handle one, or is this a double-handle type or three-handle type faucet?
It's hot and cold.
Okay.
Two different faucets.
So what you got going on in there
In the shower.
Yeah. So what you got going on in there is that you've got the seat that rubber goes up against has got a little burr or a little something on it, and it's ripping those gaskets up for you. So what you got to do is turn the water off, and you're gonna have to jump in there. But they make, if you go to your local hardware store, they have a seat removal tool where it will actually go in there, and it's usually the kind of like a little square head on the inside, and it will go in there, and you will unscrew that seat, and then you can take that back down to the hardware store and swap that out. Now, if you know that like it's an old Delta or an old Price Fister or something like that, you might get lucky and pick one up when you make that trip down there. But you remove that seat, put that back in there with a new washer, and you should get a lot more life out of that thing.
All right. Thanks for your advice, and I love your show.
Hey, man, thanks for listening, and give us a call back or send us an email and let us know how it went after you get it fixed up.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for calling in to Around the House. That leaves another line open at 503-417-9595. 503-417-9595. Well, this has been a busy show so far with calls, and I absolutely love it. Thanks for calling in, people. Well, we're going to get while we get some other phone calls dialed up here, we're going to dive back into subject number one, which was from hour one, which is continuing over into, if you're listening on the podcast, hour two. Talking about how people like me and other people out there hate their kitchen but don't want to spend a ton of money on it. So, with that, we were talking about painting or restaining. What do you do with that? I tell you what, if you've ever painted a kitchen, that is a labor-intensive thing. Because here's the problem when you're painting a kitchen. You've got to get all that grease out of there. When you got all that grease around there, that does not move well with paint. So your prep work in just getting it clean is pretty extensive. You've got to do some serious cleaning. And then if you've got oak or things like that, the problem is that's a very open grain. That is going to show through that paint. So you need to have that know that that texture is going to be there. You're not going to get that house beautiful magazine shot of a kitchen from your 30-year-old cabinets that are oak, and you're going to see that texture through it. And you're going to get some of it no matter what. I don't care what you try to do to that. Whether you're filling it or anything else, something someplace is going to come through there. You just kind of have to say, okay, that's a battle I'm not going to win. So how do I use that texture somehow? Now, I'm not a big fan of refacing in many situations. And refacing is when you order new doors and drawer fronts. And when you order those new door and drawer fronts, they actually go through and re-veneer the boxes or the carcasses themselves and put that new skin over the top of it. Problem is most people tell you that you can only reface once. So after you've refaced once, you've kind of, that cat's out of the bag. You're not doing that again. So with that, that's an option. But the problem is you still haven't, I always say it's kind of like taking your 1988 BMW that's got 400,000 miles on it and putting a pretty paint job on it. It's pretty, but it's still leaking oil in your driveway.
Still not going to run very well.
Yeah, the clutch is slipping. You know, you still got other things going on with that. So you're not fixing the drawers. You're not putting in the latest and greatest stuff. And so these are things you got to take in care. You got to kind of take into account with that. Now, if you've got a great appliance package in there and you bought the kitchen and it's got great countertops and you just want to change it, that's not a bad place to go because you're not having to do a full remodel with that. So it will buy you a little time from that point of view. But that is one of those that you kind of have to be careful with. Now, going down there, one of the things you can do with a kitchen is just to make it easier is upgrade your appliances. Because if you have to remodel down the road, make sure that you're going to put those appliances back in there. But you can go in there and buy that really new good dishwasher that's working. You can go through and do all of those things and get those things brought up so it's a little more enjoyable. I tell you what, if you've got a dishwasher that's working, which usually means you got to spend about $500 or $600 and go on up from there to get something that's quiet, to get something awesome, that's going to get you a good dishwasher. And that does make one of those things that makes life just a little bit more enjoyable in that kitchen. All right. Hey, let's jump out here to Marco in Lake Oswego. Welcome to Around the House.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What can I help you with today?
Just have a quick question. I have a 1985 single-family home in the Lake Oswego area, and I bought it in 2001. I've been making additions like a 50-year roof, vinyl windows, some carpeting, some decks. I'm just curious if you guys have a hit list for a homeowner who's trying to, you know, put a little money in, make it nice, and hopefully to get a little bit of money out. I'm looking to sell maybe a year or two down the road.
Dude, it's going to come down to curb appeal. It just is. It's all curb appeal. How pretty is that thing from the street? It's going to be garage doors, front door, you know, all those little things like that. How's the landscaping out front? All those little curb appeal things are money makers as far as going for resale. When you're dealing with outdated bathrooms and stuff like that, it's hard to get in a year to get 100% return on those things. You'll get 80%, 90% at best, usually on most of those. So it's hard to do a kitchen remodel to get that full money back out of it if you're only doing this a year down the road.
Okay. And since 2001, I've been doing changes. I'd say on a 10 scale, the front yard, give it an 8. That includes the decks, and yeah, the garage door's good. Windows look good. It does have a nice feel. It's on a hillside, so it's above the neighbors across the street, and then cool. There's nobody on the backside, so it's nice privacy.
Nice, yeah. So any of those kind of things are just going to give you that wow factor. You know, sometimes even a well-planned, and I'm not talking about go to Costco, get those little solar-powered lights, but lighting and things like that can also give it a big wow factor, especially if you're putting it on the market in the fall or the wintertime.
All righty. Well, good. I'll just take and think about it. Appreciate it. Listening to your show. Having a good time. Talk to you guys next time.
All right. Thanks, man. Good luck out there. Appreciate the call. Man, we're rolling through these things. I want to get your calls. 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. Man, we got a lot of phone calls lined up here. I want you to join the conversation at 503-417-9595, 503-417-9595, or 877-733-1011. Hey, this segment Around the House is brought to you by Western Construction Systems. Is a cracked or crumbling foundation killing your real estate deal? For a free inspection, contact Western Construction Systems. The integrity of your foundation is their specialty guaranteed, and that's CCB number 94222. Also, check out our Facebook page, Around the House with Eric G., and our big chat group, which is Around the House Nation. So go to that, We're having a good time because he's wearing the hat over there, which those hats will be coming soon. So you don't worry about that. We'll be having some little bit of merch up one of these days. It's in process, and Dane's wearing one of them right now. Hey, let's run out here. We got the calls lining up right now, so let's jump out here to Kathy in Vancouver. Thanks for waiting. Welcome to Around the House.
Yes, thank you. I greatly appreciate your taking my call.
No problem.
I have a question about cleaning my cement patio.
Okay.
This winter or spring, I ended up getting black circle type things, not real big, probably the size of a nickel. And one other spot on the patio, they're white spots. Now, I put bleach and water on, you know, trying to remove it, but nothing happened. And even tried to take a brush to clean it, nothing happened. Could you recommend what I might be able to do? I don't know if it's a fungus or something. I've never seen this before.
You know, we've had, as a sponsor on the show before, 30 Seconds Outdoor Cleaner, and I think that might be a good one to try on there first. Because that's probably going to be the most gentle to your concrete to start out with. And so go through and follow the directions on it really well. But if you go out there and make sure that concrete's nice and dry and apply it, follow the directions.
Okay.
That might be the first way to go.
Okay, where is this available?
Just about any home center will have it. I mean, you can walk in, it's on the shelf at you know, your Home Depots and Lowe's and Ace Hardware's. I think everybody just about has it here. It's a Northwest Portland-based company, so they're national, but they are based here, and they're just about in every home center. So easy to find. So that would be the first thing I would do. After that, I mean, you could go hit it with a pressure washer carefully. Other than that, what I see people doing, and there's a lot of different cleaners out there, but you know, the nuclear on it would be to go and use like an acid, but it would etch the whole thing. And so you got to be careful with it because you can actually damage the concrete, but that would be the worst case scenario. But there are lots of different concrete cleaners, but I'll be honest, I would start with the 30 Seconds Outdoor Cleaner. Try that and follow the directions on it, especially if you follow the directions for like a really dirty area. That would, I think, take care of most of that. I've had these kind of mildew and kind of lichen stains in moist areas, especially if they're undercover and they're on a patio. I've had that happen before, and that usually takes it off for me.
Okay, do you end up having to scrub that off?
I would scrub it in there. Yeah, I would apply the 30 Seconds Outdoor Cleaner and hit it with a stiff brush, and that should probably get most of it, if not all of it, for you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Hey, let's run out here to Nick in Hillsboro. Welcome to Around the House.
Hey, I just heard your segment earlier. You guys were talking about like a cheap kitchen remodel.
Yeah.
I'm a lead guy for a contractor, and we do all sorts of, do a lot of framing, windows, doors, and we also flip interiors at apartments.
Okay.
And one thing we do on those interiors at the apartments is we take off all the cabinet doors and the drawer faces, throw them away. So this is a little more expensive than just painting.
Sure.
But leave all the boxes, and then we have a painting company come in and use oil-based primer. They clean and then they prime everything and they paint all the boxes.
Yep.
And then we put new doors and drawer faces on and it looks like a new kitchen.
Yeah, Nick, you're dead on. That is a good way to go. The only thing it doesn't really fix is if you've got like pretty trashed on hardware and stuff like that, or the boxes are kind of failing. But you're right, that will give you a pretty nice look, especially if you put more of a full overlay door on there. That looks like $1 million.
And that's exactly what we do. We overlay it way more. So I think my boss calls it like Euro style or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you got
so
like a 3/16 or a 1/4 inch in between the boxes,
yeah,
the drawer
exactly.
fronts and door fronts. Yeah, that's
yep.
It's a good way to go. And problem is though, I will say that as you know, since you've done a lot of this, it's all about your measurements.
Correct. Well, and you have to be careful. Mainly, you know, I would advise people to be careful when you butt into a wall. Where the cabinet goes in the wall. Sometimes we use like, because we have like 3/8 hinges, 1/2 inch hinges. You know what I mean? We have different hinges because we do new hinges, obviously, with
sure.
the new doors. And you just got to be careful that it will close, that it doesn't hit the wall.
Yeah, you know your hardware choices too make a big difference. If you've got a hardware,
right.
a handle, a big huge knob on there, that's going
right.
to make a big difference on your closing on that as well, because you're not going to get
right.
rollouts or something out of in there if that's hitting. So good call, man. I appreciate it. That is a great tip.
Yeah, I mean, and our margins are tight, you know, with those interiors because it's apartments.
Has to be.
But I'd share that they actually look really good when they're done. And then we'll do new, we call it TPO or whatever, on the sides, just where you can see it and kind of freshens it up, you know, on anywhere, you know, and it kind of looks like a new kitchen. I mean, it really does.
It does, man. It does. Yeah, that's a good way to go. Yeah. It's a better way to me than even refacing because you don't have to worry about the veneers coming off of the boxes themselves. Right. So,
and then one thing we do, I'll just say it quickly because I know you're busy. We fill all the, we do fill all the holes of the old, where the old hinges screwed into the cabinets before they paint. And then, and sometimes we actually put toothpicks with glue in the holes so that, you know, if it ends up being right back in the same hole, it can still bite.
Yeah. But, otherwise you're just blowing filler out or Bondo or whatever else you're using on that.
So, yeah. And it does look pretty good.
So, it's a good way to go, man. Hey, that's
about all their boxes.
Nick, thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate the tip. Let's run out here real quick. Let's go out here to, all right, Larry in Battleground. Welcome to Around the House.
Hi, how you doing there?
Good, man. What can I help you with?
Well, had a home inspection done on a house. It's built in 1973.
Okay.
And it's had a lot of upgrades to it and all that. But the home inspector called out the crawl space. There is no insulation under the floor.
Okay.
And the vapor barrier was missing in some spots.
Sure.
And so he, you know, called out the vapor barrier and doing insulation. When we went to the homeowner on it, they were making the argument that it was it didn't need it because they had taken the, you know, the solid foam insulation, like the 2-inch rigid.
Yep.
And put it up on all the exterior walls and all that.
Yep.
Then when I went to the home inspector, he said, "Well, the problem with that is it's not truly sealed or anything. You get moisture still from the crawl space, you know, the vapor barrier, because it's not sealed right."
And yeah.
That you're going to get air. And
you see, here's the thing with that. I, you know, you're dealing with 1970s home construction, which that was a very common way of doing it, where they put the foam or the insulation around the perimeter and they throw some plastic down and call it a day. That new insulation is not going to, if you went in and re-insulated that whole floor, it's not going to really stop moisture from coming up in there, but new vapor barrier is what you're going to lean on with that. So it's really depending on insulation style, what you got to do with that.
Yeah, one of the problems is that with the foam, they've covered all the ventilation blocks and all that.
Here. Gotcha. Hey, Larry, can you stick around? I'd like to get you after the break here so we can answer this correctly for you. Can you do that?
Sure.
All right, when we come back, we will talk to Larry and get those questions answered just as soon as Around the House returns. Every week has a weekend. We are in the middle of the weekend. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we have fun talking home improvement each and every Saturday from noon to 2. If you missed the show, we've had a hot one today with a lot of callers and even went toe-to-toe with one that was an illegal, or seemed to be an illegal contractor out there. So we got a like if you want to hear me go toe-to-toe on that one. Take a listen to the SoundCloud, and that will be up just after the show ends, and we're going to, well, you'll get to hear that one. So SoundCloud, or really, to be honest, anywhere you listen to your podcasts out there, you can catch it. For more information, anything about the show, you can either go to Facebook, which is Around the House with Eric G, or you can go to Around the House Online, which has all my more Good Day Oregon segments and a bunch of different stuff like that. I've got one coming up here, I think it's going to air this next week, that I just did for more, that has the we did on earthquake preparedness as far as, or disaster, you know, food, water, those kind of things. So that'll be a good one. And this segment Around the House brought to you by Adair Homes, building quality, affordable custom homes throughout the Pacific Northwest for nearly 50 years. AdairHomes.com, and that's CCB number 593. Well, if you're listening before break here, we were just kind of wrapping up Larry here in Battleground, and we were talking about his issue with vapor barrier and insulation down there. Are you still with me, Larry?
I am.
Cool. Thanks for waiting and holding over during the break. So, as you know, the vapor barrier is a really key thing, and that's just going to be really good. 6 mil plastic is a minimum down there that's got a good overlap on it. But the problem you're running into is that with the home inspection is you've kind of got two different ways of insulating that, which becomes part of the negotiating process. Where are you guys with that so far?
Well, kind of at a standstill right now, and my inspector told me to go and, you know, bring in a specialist that deals with all that kind of stuff, which I haven't done at this point, but yeah, because they're saying their way is correct. And but my inspector, he's been a remodeling contractor for 35 years also, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, he having a full insulated floor is going to be, to me, better than going around the outside. I would do something like give Western Construction System a call. They're a sponsor of the show here. But this is what they do for crawl spaces and foundations. And you can get a really good assessment from there and get their take on it as well and see where they side, if you know what I mean.
Okay. So if you do the sealed crawl space, I mean, what do you have to do for your vapor barrier? And
a lot of times when they do those big sealed, when they encapsulate a crawl space, and I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of that, of sealing up everything down there. I think having some good airflow is not a bad thing down there. But if you were going to do a whole encapsulated system down there, that's like a 12 mil usually or greater. It's a super thick, glued and seamed, taped and seamed vapor barrier that just encapsulates all that. But I don't know, to me that's kind of overkill. To me, a good vapor barrier down there that's just taped and sealed and sealed on the over the dirt or ground itself, and then having good foundation insulation, to me, in my opinion, is kind of the best of both worlds.
Okay, yeah, because he told me it would almost like have to be like you deal with it like it's a climate controlled.
It's a space. Yeah, it's almost a climate-controlled space at that point. But to me, I just like having the big, thick insulation down there, and it just ends up being a little bit more of a comfortable house.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Cool, man. Thanks for sticking around. Let's run out here to Scott in Forest Grove, who has been patiently waiting. Welcome to Around the House.
Hey, what's going on?
Good, man. What can I help you with today?
So I just want to pass on something that I learned years ago. Combating mold in the house, although mm-hmm. everything I've done has not been in bathrooms, it's been in bedrooms.
Sure.
But we make up a mixture of hydrogen peroxide and borax and wash it down and wipe it down until it seems to be mostly gone, and then leave the last wiping there to dry so you get some of the borax residue sticking to the wall or ceiling, and then paint it black twice and then paint it the color you want. And it has worked twice for me.
Really? All right.
Yes.
Well, the one thing you have to be careful with any of these kind of home solutions for mildew, and what you have to be careful a little bit with was anything that, and you're probably okay with the hydrogen peroxide, but like when people go hit it like with bleach and water, for instance, that water actually ends up, any moisture you're putting in there that has anything to do with water, what happens is that will feed the mold and mildew again. So you're just refeeding anything that you missed. So,
oh, yeah, I failed to mention that we always let it dry first and then paint it.
Yeah, but even with that, even any moisture, though, it's one of those things that you do have to be a little bit careful with. So even if you take bleach and water, for instance, and this is a great example, if you do a bleach and water solution, that moisture is still sticking around because no one's sitting there, to be honest, with a moisture meter making sure that it's 100% dry. We don't do those things, man, and I know I don't. I know nobody else that's reasonable out there would. And so what happens is you end up painting over the top of it, and then, if it's anything's not dead. But I'll have to try that sometime. Well, I haven't tried your way, but it's kind of interesting. And I tell you what, the borax would kill.
What's the difference between mold and mildew?
Well, that's a whole scientific thing. But I mean, the mold, it's they're both growing, organisms that need oxygen and they need moisture to grow. And so that's you can have it in the dark. If there's just a little bit of light, it doesn't take much.
Yeah, right. That's why we paint it black twice.
There you go. All right, man. That's an interesting way to do it. Hey, appreciate the call in the tip, man. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for patiently waiting and listening to Around the House. Let's run out here to Kathy in Forest Grove real quick before we run out. Welcome to Around the House.
Hi. My question is, I am going to need to replace windows, and I'm wondering what to look for in a new window and in an installer.
Gotcha. This is a good question, actually. Oh, so what kind of windows do you have in there first? Let's talk about that.
I think they're called double hung.
Okay. Are they aluminum? Are they wood? Are they vinyl? What are you looking to do?
Aluminum.
Okay. So you got those old double hung aluminum ones in there. Yeah, those are not super efficient.
Right. Well, I'll tell you this. The reason I know I need new ones is because I was sitting looking, and you can see a gap to the outside. So I think that was a pretty good clue.
That's a really good clue. I love it. I'll be honest. What I look for when I'm dealing with window professionals is I look at the brand of windows, and I start doing a little bit of a look on the brand that I like. And then I look for their certified installers. Because I tell you what, for me personally, the installation is almost more important than the brand of windows themselves. There's a lot of great window brands out there, but you can buy the best windows in the world out there, the top of the line ones. And if you got a crummy installer, it doesn't matter. You've got bigger problems with water and moisture, especially in Forest Grove. You know, you're in the area where moisture is going to be the absolute enemy. So it's all about that installer. And I would get a hold of like some of the big window companies. I don't have a sponsor here, so I don't have a dog in the fight. But for instance, I would get on Milgard's website and take a look and talk to them and get a hold of the Milgard company and find out who their certified installers are and start working off a list like that.
Okay, great. Great. Anything else advice-wise along that line?
You know, I'm not a big fan of, I mean, I like to go at least double pane with some, you know, with some low-E glass and some argon or something inside of those that helps do that. I don't think in our climate you have to get crazy with the triple pane stuff and go that way because we're not in Alaska or Palm Desert, California, where we got these crazy heat things. So that's kind of, I would look for that and just really get something that's going to, you know, go with a big company. Go with a big company that's going to stand behind it. Because if you've got a lifetime warranty on a window and the company goes out of business, you're still out of luck.
Okay. Thank you. That sounds good.
All right, Kathy, good luck out there. Thanks for calling into Around the House. One more segment, and then we'll be done for the day just as soon as Around the House returns.
I do tiles, I do stone, I do bricks. Call me a commercial
number with my bag of tricks. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This has been a quick 2 hours of the day here talking home improvement. And thanks to all our great callers out today. We had some fun on the air.
We had a lot of fun today. If you missed it right now and you're listening to hour number two on the podcast, definitely go back, hit hour one.
Yeah.
You got it.
This has been fun radio today. And thanks to all you people calling in, like I said. Now, there's a lot of different things that I want to just touch on here. You know, we've been diving into kitchens and doing the upgrades. And I just want to say, before we get into some of the other little pieces of house cleaning I want to do here, when you're diving into kitchens like this, there's a lot of little things you can do. From paint, we were talking about appliances, you can dive into range hoods and putting in a new ventilation system and really kind of getting things cleaned up a little bit. And there are a lot of little projects for maybe putting in a new tile backsplash or maybe changing out a laminate countertop that can really kind of dive things in and make them look really nice. And so there's nothing wrong with that. But just make sure that if you're spending big money on it, that it's something if you're going to do work on down the road, you can really kind of have it captured so you're not wasting that money again. You don't want to go do, you know, if you've got weird appliances that are weird sizes, like you got that small fridge that it was made for the 1978 fridge and you can't fit a new one in there. Maybe you wait for that new fridge. Maybe you buy another fridge, put out in your garage. It's going to be the one that's going to go in there and wait a couple years for that. So then you have that extra fridge storage and then you can slide that thing in when the time comes. And then you just got a really nice beer fridge for a couple days.
Those are never a bad thing.
Never a bad thing. Never a bad thing. So those are things just to kind of keep in mind when you're doing these projects. We are not going to get to the how to hire an interior designer this week or convert the garage or keep it. Guess what? Now you know what's going to be coming up next week because we're going to dive into that. I want to just keep moving forward with these things. But, you know, we had so many great calls. And what I like about when we have great calls like this, it helps so many other people because if you've got a question, other people have a question, so you're answering their questions as well. So thanks for those calls coming in. We're not going to take any more calls here for the rest of this segment because we just got a couple more minutes left. But I want you to have a couple of different ways you can find us now. So please go over to Around the House with Eric G. We post up a ton of stuff on Facebook over there. There's a lot of new stuff over there. Every day I'm posting stuff up on there. And then if you got a project you're working on, I want to see it. Everybody else wants to see it. So go over to Around the House Nation. That is our closed group Facebook. And the reason why I made a closed group is it's not like it's some pay-to-play kind of weird thing. No, it's free. Just click it, like it. If you're a real person, we will accept you, bring you in. This is where we share projects during the week. And we have control of it. In a regular Facebook post, anybody can post anything on there. And we have just a few rules of no politics and everybody be nice to each other. And if everybody's nice and respectful, guess what? There are so many great ideas that collaboration goes in it. It's a project collaboration page where people can converse about a project that they got going on over there. And you see a ton of stuff on it. So jump over there. We all jump in. You've got experts. You've got flooring people and architects and
car guys. Nick Miles is on there.
Yeah, Nick Miles was posting the other day. There's a lot of different stuff over there. So make sure you dive into that and enjoy that because there's a lot going on there. And the more you contribute, the better the page gets. So have some fun with it. And if you're thinking about doing a project, we've walked a lot of people through projects over there, which I think is totally fun because we've been able to help a lot of people. And helping people is what we do here each Saturday. So again, follow, like Facebook. That's the one thing that I like to get out. Make sure you get on that because there's a ton of stuff going on there. And we're going to have I'll put up a podcast this week, midweek. So take a look on all of our different forums out there for podcasts because you're going to find that there as well. And so you're going to start to see now, here's our announcement, a Wednesday quick little podcast. It might be 5 minutes. It could be a full 33. I don't know. It's going to be depending on how much I want to talk about a subject. And I'm not going to give too much information about what's going to be coming up because there could be something big in home improvement that happens where I change that. So I don't want to get your hopes up on a certain subject, but we've got a few coming up this week and you'll see it up on our Facebook page when that comes up because there are going to be a lot more content coming up on social media with Around the House. So stay tuned. And then I'll put up, I think this week, I don't know my air date yet, but more Good Day Oregon. Yeah. I'm going to do a segment here on being prepared for natural disasters, what you should have around the house, some of the basics that you should have put together for that. So those are things that you need to have on it. So
Now that we've been talking kitchen remodels today, you'd be probably surprised to know that kitchen remodeling, there is a project that's on the top 10 most procrastinated projects for DIY.
And that's all the time we got for this week. Our thanks to executive producer Dane Vodder for making the show sound great. Jeff Thomas and Steve Moffitt, who are now our latest crew members to Around the House, welcome aboard. Most of all, though, I want to thank you for listening. We want you to join us next week from noon to two, where once again we talk about maintenance, repair, designing for remodeling, and renovation of your home. Until then, be sure you do what you love. Love what you do. This is the Radio Northwest Network. I'm Eric G., and you've been listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. If you want to reach the smartest listening audience of homeowners and contractors without competing with those crazy political ads, head to AroundTheHouseOnline.com and contact me personally for more information. That's AroundTheHouseOnline.com.